Well, it wouldn't be Croft and it wouldn't be Harvest Sunday if we didn't have a quiz together. So I thought we'd have a quiz about food this morning, and we've got some special questions for those who are six and under as well. Here's our verse that we're learning this morning, so let's say it out loud together. The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Psalm 24, verse 1. So, let's have a quiz, shall we? Let's start on this side here, okay? You can be team one, and you guys can be team two. Under sixes, team one, okay? Name a food that comes from under the ground. Yes, Charlotte?
Carrots.
Well done, well done. Excellent. This side here, okay? Here we go. Name a food that grows on a tree, but you've got to be under six to answer this question. What grows on a tree, Jack?
Apples.
Absolutely right. Well done. One all. Okay, let's make it a bit more difficult, okay? Team one, when was this food first introduced? They were called love apples. Tomatoes, absolutely right. Tomatoes. Hands up if you knew that. Well, three of you. Well, you've got a good team going here, that's for sure, okay? Love apples, okay? Well, let's keep the theme of tomatoes, shall we? Which continent do tomatoes originally come from? South America. Absolutely right. South America. Well done. It's a draw so far, okay? Let's go to the next one. From which continent do potatoes originally come from? Yes, Paul?
America.
America, south or north?
North.
South. Nearly there. Okay, team two, name a food. Oh, it's under sixes. So name a food that's found in pods. Yes, sir.
Little beans.
Or little peas as well. That's right, well done. And under sixes on this side, here's an easy one, isn't it? Name a food that's found in beehives. Yes?
Honey.
Honey. Well done. I knew you got that one right. Okay. Team two, from which country do enchiladas come from? Come on, team two. Enchiladas. Mexico. Spot on. Well done. Team one, what kind of pastry is used to make baklava? Now, if you ever watched Bake Off, you might know the answer to this question. What is it? Puff pastry, is that right? Flaky pastry? Sort of, pardon? Like phyllo pastry. Well done. We got there in the end. Well done. Excellent. Okay, team two. Which takeaway is more popular? Indian or fish and chips?
Indian.
You both said all. You answered both things, actually. You do know that, don't you? Shall we try that again? Which is more popular? Fish and chips. See? Fish and chips. So it's now a draw. Okay, first person to answer this question out loud wins the competition. Lettuce is a member of which flower family? Got you this morning, haven't I? Come on. Don't be afraid to lose this for your team. Who said something here? Did I hear an answer? Try it. Rose? No. Nope. Dahlias, nope. I'll put you out of your misery. The answer is sunflower. We've learned something new this morning, haven't we, that we didn't know before. Now, I need a couple of volunteers, okay? Two volunteers, okay? First people up, how about me? Charlotte? Two Charlottes, fantastic. A pair of Charlottes. Okay. We've got a memory verse. What's our memory verse? Let's say it out loud together. The earth is the Lord's. And everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Now, I thought I'm in a sharing mood today. So I've got this lovely piece of bread. It smells lovely, actually. Making me feel very hungry. Now, I'm going to divide this between you. Which would be a fair way to divide this, do you think?
Break it in half.
Half. Okay, right. Half. Well, how if I just did this? Would that be about right if I gave you that? And I gave you that. Would that be about right? Is that fair? No. Why is it not fair?
Because I've got only one.
You've only got,
you've got the whole loaf.
And you've got the whole loaf. Exactly. That's not fair, is it? So I think we need to do sort of another cut, really, don't we? If we go in about there, would that be about right, do you think? Pretty much. If you take that bit.
No.
And you take that bit. Well, that's all you're going to get this morning. So you can go and sit down for a minute, okay? Actually, you can take it with you. But I tell you what you can do. After service, you guys can share that bar of chocolate between you. Half each. I don't want anybody going home upset today, okay? Thanks, Charlotte. You can take that down. Your mum would love that bread, I'm quite sure. Quite sure. Now, why do we do that this morning? Because we're feeling a bit mean? No, because we live in a world that is very unfair. And there are people today, as we celebrate Harvest Sunday, who do not get enough food to eat. In fact, our world is divided. People have told us that 80% of the world's resources are consumed by 20% of the world's population. And you and I this morning are part of that 20%, which means that we have more than 80% of the people living in this world. Does that sound fair? Not at all fair, is it? So this morning, out of the things which God has given to us, we want to help other people. So in this corner over here, if you have a look at the end of the service, thank you so much to so many of you who brought food for Food Bank. And we're going to talk a bit about that in our church meeting today as well. But this is here because there are lots of people in our country who don't have enough to eat. In fact, you'll see there that last year, over 1 million food parcels were given to people in this country alone. And here in Bromley, in the last 9 months, 3,000 people have been helped locally. That's how unfair our world is. So even here in our own society and in our own country. We're going to listen to a story from someone from Food Bank whose life has been changed by receiving some of that food. But while we do that, we're going to do something else. If you look at the end of the row, if you're sitting at the end of a row today, this side or this side, you'll have a white envelope. Just hold it. Hold it up, okay? Now, in that envelope, okay, there are some seeds. So while we listen to this Steve story on the screen, I want you to open that envelope if you're sitting on the end of the row and pass a seed along. So by the time we get to the end of Steve's story, we've all got a little seed in our hands, okay? So let's do that. And while we do that, we're going to listen to Steve's story.
I've worked all my life and I never thought I'd be in the situation whereby I needed a food bank. However, going there, it's not people that are unemployed, it's not people that are scroungers, it's not people that need to get a job. There's probably one person in your street at least that's had to go and use a food bank. People are struggling and they need help. My name is Richard Brown, 49, from New Milton in Hampshire. Last year I had to go to a food bank for the first time in my life due to losing my job, ongoing health problems and also domestic issues, splitting up with my partner. When I first went to the food bank, I felt very embarrassed. Having been brought up in a forces background, I'd always looked after myself. However, on meeting the people there, they put me at ease straight away. I even got a cup of tea. I'd never expected to use a food bank, but it wasn't until I was put into that situation that I realised that I actually needed help myself. I went to the Citizens Advice and asked them what I can do, what help there was, and they referred me to the food bank. I do have a 10-year-old daughter as well. Makes it more difficult, but it's a case of trying to budget or having to go without. There's been situations where I will feed her instead of feeding myself. You know, it does get a bit hard, but just something you have to do to survive. I think if the food bank had not been there, I don't know what I would have done. Due to my health problems, that would have had a serious effect, which could possibly have led me to a stay in hospital. But without the food bank, I don't think I'd be here today. I think that may have, you know, pushed me over the edge, as I think it will do for a lot of people if it's not there.
A sobering story, people in our own society. We're going to use those seeds that you have to pray. So if you can manage, they're very small, these seeds, aren't they? If you can manage to hold one in your hand as we pray. Now, we talked about sunflowers already this morning, didn't we? Here's a picture, and that seed that you have in front of you this morning has the capacity to turn into one of those. Isn't that incredible? When you look at that tiny little seed that you've got in your hand this morning. So we're going to use this seed to help us to pray, okay? So let's hold the seed and just put the seed in the middle of our hands, okay? And we're going to remind ourselves that this seed is very precious and very special. And we're going to pray by using the words that are on the screen here, okay? So here we are. We're going to say sorry to God, okay? Forgive us, Lord, for taking the gift of life for granted and not treating others around us as those who are loved by you. Now, if you can manage to do this morning, if you can hold that C between your thumb and your finger, that's a bit trickier, this bit, isn't it? Hold the C between your thumb and your finger. The seed is very, very small, isn't it? But like this seed, God has planned that each of our lives will become more than we appear to be now. So we're talking about potential, aren't we? So here's another prayer that we can pray. Forgive us, Lord, for not recognizing the small beginnings of your work in us and for not believing in your surprising plans for our lives. Now, we're going to take that seed and we're going to put it into the center of our hand and we're going to close it, okay? So you can't see it anymore, okay? It's hidden, isn't it? And it remains out of sight. And if you plant that seed, that's what we do. We stick it in the ground and it stays there in the dark places and it grows in secret. And like that seed, God wants us to spend time with him in secret. That's how we get to know God better. So we're going to pray together. Forgive us, Lord, for not spending time with you and for tolerating things in our lives that we need to get rid of. Now, I wonder if you can take a Bible. If you've got a Bible in front of you, if you haven't got a Bible, maybe a hymn book, okay? That will pretend the hymn books are Bibles this morning. And put the seed on it, if you can manage to do that. And we remember that as we put the seed on the Bible or on a hymn book this morning, which we're going to pretend is a Bible, okay, we remember that the seed takes time to grow, doesn't it? It needs time and care. And God's work in our lives is long term, but in order to get to know God better, we need to read our Bibles. So we're going to pray out loud. Forgive us, Lord, for wanting things the quick and easy way. Help us to grow by taking time to get to know you better. And let's put the seed back in our hands again. And just hold our hands out like this, if we can do that, can we, with the seed in it? As we think about this beautiful flower that this seed can turn into, we just want to say, Jesus, we want to trust you with our lives today. So here's a prayer as we finish. So let's say it together. Help us to become more like Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, two of our children are going to lead us in some prayers, saying thank you to God for harvest. So Charlotte's going to come up first. Thank you, Charlotte. Good job. Thank you.
Dear God, we thank you for the food we have to eat. Thank you for the farmers that grow our food. We pray for all those who do not have enough food to eat. Please bless the people who are given this food. We pray that they will know how much you love them. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. The caramels here today or not? Excellent. Good. I haven't spotted you yet, so that's brilliant. Thank you very much. I'll give that to you as well. Let's just keep praying, shall we? Let's close our eyes.
Dear God, thank you for everything you give us. Thank you for the world you made, for rain and sunshine, and for good food to eat. Thank you that you love us. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. That's really helpful. Right, we're going to do something a little bit different this morning. We're going to play another game this morning. And we've got two globes, because I was thinking this morning, you know, when we go to the supermarket, that's where most of us get our food from, actually. And when we go to the supermarket, we expect it to look a little bit like this, packed aisles with all sorts of food from all over the world. And sometimes we actually take it for granted. We think, actually, that's where we go for our food. We forget sometimes, don't we, that actually it comes from all over the world. It comes from farmers. It comes from fields. And I thought we'd do something this morning that would help us to think together for a few minutes about harvests that come to us from across the world. So we're going to play a game this morning. It's a little bit like musical chairs, but actually we can't really move around very much this morning. So I thought we'll stay seated, okay? And I want you to throw this globe around, okay? We don't do that in church, do we? We're going to do it this morning. And when the music stops, I want you to hold on to that globe, wherever it is, okay? So we'll start, I'm going to throw a globe that way, and it's a globe that way. And when the music stops, I want you to take a look at that map, and I want you to see if you can work out where some of our food comes from. See if you can work out what food comes from what country, okay? As we think about harvest across the world, okay? Be gentle with each other. Don't want any accidents this morning. So here comes the music, I hope. Yes, here we go. And here comes the globe. And here comes another one. Yes! You might have to get up after all. Okay. Right. Somebody's got to pick it up. Someone's got to pick it up. Grab the globes. Grab the globes. Now, what country can you find on there where some of our food comes from? Can you find a country from where our food comes from on that globe? If you can, just shout it out, okay? Naomi, have you any idea what's going on down there? You find a country? Shout it out. Where?
France.
France. What comes from France?
Cheese.
Yes, that's a good answer. Yes. Anything else? Apples. Apples from France. What have we got down here? Any other countries down this end?
Yeah.
What have we got here?
India.
North America. What comes from North America?
Wheat.
Wheat. Good answer. Good answer. Good. Right. Let's go back to our quiz. Okay, and stop. Right, finding on the globe this morning. Another country where food comes from. Anne, what do you reckon?
Argentina.
What comes from Argentina?
Beef.
Argentinian beef, okay. What do we reckon here? Have we found a country? New Zealand lamb. Exactly, very good. I'm feeling very hungry now. Okay, one more time. This time when the globe lands, I want you to find a troubled spot in the world. Somewhere where there's a war going on. Somewhere where fat, where harvest is going to be really difficult this year. Let's just see if it's good. Out the music. Oh, there we go. We're back on track. Come on. There we go. There we go. Right. Ah, both on this side. Nobody wants to hold it. No one wants to hold it. What are you so afraid of? Well done. Hang on to it. Right, Eric, we want a trouble spot in the world.
No, we'll say Mexico.
Mexico. What's happening in Mexico?
Earthquakes.
Earthquakes. Okay, what are we going over here? What have we got?
Syria.
Syria. What's going on in Syria? There's a horrible war going on in Syria, isn't there? We're going to stop for a minute and just pray, okay? We're going to thank God for the good things he gives us and for some of those trouble spots as well. So, Father, thank you. Although we have fun together like this, we realise that we have much to say thank you for. We thank you for the food that we enjoy that comes to us from all over the world. And we pray particularly for the trouble spots of our world this morning, for countries like Mexico and Syria, and North Korea, and some of those islands where those awful hurricanes have taken place. Lord, there are many in our world today who will not enjoy the harvest that we will enjoy here in this country. Lord, hear our prayers for our world in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been learning this verse this morning, haven't we? Let's say it out loud together. We should be knowing it by now, I guess. But let's say it again. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all who live in it. Where does it come from? Psalm 24, verse 1. We're going to read the Bible together now. And John is going to come and read a really short little passage from Luke chapter 13. If you've got a Bible, if you're a parent, you've got children with you, and I share this, it's just a few really short verses, Luke chapter 13. It's about a farmer, and it's about a tree. And it's about a tree that's not supposed to be doing what it is supposed to be doing. And, well, you'll hear the rest of the story as John reads it first. Luke 13, 6 to 9. I might just need this microphone. I'm not sure about that lectern, so I'll hold this for you if you like.
Oh, okay. Thanks very much. So we're reading Luke chapter 13, verses 6 to 9, and on page 1046 of the Bibles in the pew. Then he told this parable. A man who had a fig tree and planted it in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should I use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig round it and fertilise it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down.
Thanks, John. Well, just keep that open for a little few minutes, okay? Here's a story about a farmer who comes to look at his tree, and when he looks at his tree, he realises actually there's no fruit on it. Now, I can identify with that, okay? Jean and I moved house, as many of you will know, this year, and we moved in about August last year, and we thought, wouldn't it be great if this year we actually planted some vegetables and some fruits, and we could have some lovely stuff out of our own garden? Well, we've had a very unsuccessful year. Bit like the farmer in the story, he goes to his tree and finds nothing on it. We thought, first of all, we'd try to grow some tomatoes. So we grew some tomatoes. Would you like one of my tomatoes, Lily? Probably not. Why not? They look pretty rotten, don't they, actually? Yeah, so tomatoes were not a good success, so we gave up on the tomatoes. Then I thought, I'd try some runner beans. I always wanted to do runner beans, but I put them in the ground too early. And so the ice and the snow came, and they all died. So when I looked over my next-door neighbour's garden and saw his beans growing up like this, mine were all lying flat like that. So that didn't work out very well. So I thought, well, why don't I try growing cucumbers? It can't be that difficult to grow cucumbers, can it? Can it? So we tried cucumbers, but that wasn't very successful either, as you can see on the screen. That didn't work out very well. So I thought, well, why don't we just plant some flowers? Because it can't be that difficult to plant flowers and grow flowers. So we stuck some flowers in the garden, and after a couple of months, they started to look like this. Because the caterpillars had arrived. That's not very nice, Charlotte, is it? And ate all the leaves, and they were pretty horrible as well. So I thought, well, let's try rhubarb. So we planted rhubarb, and we had a fantastic crop of rhubarb. But then somebody said to me, you can't eat it. The first year you plant rhubarb, you've got to leave it for a year, let it rot, and then next year you can eat it. Didn't know that, did you? So I've had to watch the rhubarb just sort of rot away. So I can identify with this farmer very well in Jesus' story, who comes and looks at his tree and says, you know what, I've been waiting for 3 years for some stuff to grow on this tree, and nothing has happened. It's a very strange little story, really, because the farmer says, okay, I'm going to wait a little bit longer, and if there's no fruit next year, then I will cut it down. So, what's that all about? Well, really, it's a story about coming to know who Jesus is, and Jesus being very patient with us and saying, I'm waiting for people to come to faith and come to know who I am. I thought we'd think about that invitation for a few minutes, thinking about some gardens that you'll find in the Bible. And I'm going to need a few helpers this morning. So a couple more helpers. Who's coming up to help me? Come on then, because we've got some nice apples this morning. Anybody else coming up? Come on, Charlie, going to come up again? I thought we'd do a little bit of apple tasting this morning. Oh, we've got a whole lot of the helpers now. You've already got a sweet in your mouth, so that's not going to work so well, is it? You've got a grape in your mouth. Okay. Who wants to try one of my apples this morning? Should we try a green one? Do you want to have a little bite of that and tell me what you think about it? What's the verdict?
It's sweet.
It's sweet. Okay, very good. All right. Do you want to try one, Charlotte?
Okay.
Do you want a little bite of it?
Juicy.
Juicy. Okay, that's not bad, is it? Are we going to try one? Who else want to try one? Are you still eating? You are still eating, are you? Why don't you try? Do you want a green one or a red one? Green one. Have a little bite. Are you going to try an apple as well? You're just going to watch. Good idea. What about that one? That's a hard one, is it? So we've got juicy ones and sweet ones and hard ones and red ones and green ones. All kinds of different fruit, really, don't we? Anybody tell me where there's a story about a really fantastic garden in the Bible? The most amazing garden you could ever imagine. Anybody know where that might be in the Bible? Shall I tell you? It's called the Garden of Eden. And right at the very beginning of the Bible, there's a story about the Garden of Eden. And if you look on the screen here, it's actually a story about a garden where everything goes terribly wrong. Amazing garden. God says there are lots of really good things in here that you can eat, Adam and Eve. But there's one thing that you mustn't eat. And they ate it. And everything went wrong because they saw a lovely fruit that God says, don't eat. And they decided to disobey God because they wanted to be like God. And everything went wrong. Our relationship with God, I mean, we couldn't be friends with God anymore. And also the world in which we live, which is why it's such a tough place to be at times. So the apple garden reminds us of the garden where it all went wrong. Do you want to stay up here and be my tasters for a few minutes? Okay. You might change your minds when you see what's coming next. Okay. Let's think about a second garden in the Bible. Any idea? What's this on the screen? What are these? Olives. Okay. Do you like olives?
Only the black ones.
Only the black ones. Hands up this morning if you like olives. Hands up if you don't like olives. You see, look at that. Mixture, isn't it? Well, I brought some olives today. You're not eating those, are you not?
I only eat the black ones.
Do you want to smell them?
Okay.
Smell them then. Does that smell good? Yeah. What do you reckon? Okay. Do you like them?
No.
Would you eat one?
No.
Probably not. What do you think? Does it smell good? Not so good, no. What do you reckon? Oh, God. I hate them. I really do not like olives at all. But the nice thing about olives is when you crush the olives, they turn into this beautiful olive oil, which is lovely for cooking and in all sorts of things with, actually. Anybody know a garden in the Bible where we might find olives? Story about a garden in the Bible. Anybody else this morning? Garden? Olives? Trees? Garden of what? Gethsemane. Absolutely right. Another garden where Jesus went to pray, and he went to pray in an olive garden. And there were lots of olives, a bit like we've had this morning. But I'm sure Jesus probably also knew that that was the place where olives get crushed to make this lovely olive oil. And what we learn about the olive garden is it's the garden where Jesus began to put things right again. Where he went there and he prayed, and then he went to the cross and he died so that we could become friends with God. So that's the second garden. Now there's another garden actually here, which is this is a lovely garden. What do you think this garden's called? What do you think it is?
Garden.
A grape garden. That's what I call it as well, actually. A grape garden. Because I think it's a great name for it, isn't it? Sometimes we call it a vineyard as well, don't we? Now, who likes grapes? Oh, look at that. All the hands are going up. I tell you what I want you to do. Okay? I want you to take those down the aisle and start sharing out some grapes with people, okay? Make sure you get one yourself, okay? You're going to go and help. Maybe you two could go together, because that would be really helpful. Okay? And we'll start to hand some grapes out. Okay, and make sure everybody gets a grape this morning. There are no seeds in these grapes, okay? But if you're not sure that your child should be eating a grape, don't eat one, okay? All right, so that's the grape garden. So what happened in the grape garden was something very interesting. Jesus took... Can I have that for a minute, Charlotte, okay? Let me just hold these up for a minute. Do you think these grow by themselves? What do you reckon, Charlotte?
No.
No. How would you think this grows?
Watering it and kind of making it healthy while it's
trying to grow. Watering it. Now, does it need to be fixed to anything to grow, do you think? What do you think this needs to be fixed to?
A tree,
yeah. The rest of the vine, doesn't it? It's not going to grow very well if it's on its own like that. And Jesus said something very important. He says, if you want to become more like me, if you want to become a follower of Jesus, you need to be a bit like these grapes, and you need to make sure that you're fixed to the rest of the vine. And when you're fixed to the rest of the vine, and you spend time with me, you start to become more like Jesus. So I'll let you hand out the rest of those grapes, okay? So the vineyard is the place where we discover that we can become more like Jesus. So let's see what we learnt this morning while you're getting your grapes, okay? The fruit garden, what does that remind us of this morning? The place what? Where? It all went wrong. That's right, Garden of Eden, the garden where it all went wrong. The olive garden, what does that teach us this morning? The place where Jesus began to put things right again. He prayed and he went to the cross and he died in our place. And the grape garden or the vineyard teaches us, doesn't it, that actually that's how we grow as the followers of Jesus Christ. We become more like Jesus by remaining in him, by spending time with him. And Jesus said, actually, I actually want to produce a harvest in your life. And the more you get to know me, he says, the more you're going to produce fruit in your life. And you're going to produce things like love, and joy, and peace, and patience, and gentleness, and self-control. Now, hands up if you want one of those this morning. Peace, want more peace, more love, more joy, more patience, more self-control, more kindness. That, says Jesus, is how we begin to grow those things, by remaining close to Jesus and spending time with him. And of course, we begin to change as well. When we come on a Harvest Sunday, we're thankful for all the good things God gives to us. And that changes our hearts, and we want to give to other people out of the good things God has given to us. So we're going to come towards the end of our service. And we're going to take our offering in a few minutes. Many of you will have received a Harvest envelope last week. And we're going to give this morning, and you'll see this on the screen in just a minute, to some of the flood relief effort that's taking place in Nepal, a partnership that we have with a series of churches led by Pastor KB. If you didn't come prepared to give, and you want to take one of these envelopes away this morning, then please just take it away and bring it back next Sunday morning. Now here's the verse we've been learning. It's time to see if we know it off by heart or not. Are you ready? The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Psalm 24, verse 1. Well done. Now, some of our teenagers are going to take our offering this morning. We're going to sit, we're going to watch a presentation which helps us to see where our money will be going to this morning. Let's pray, shall we? Father, thank you for reminding us this morning that everything that we have comes to us as a gift from you. Father, we thank you for giving us full hearts. Thank you for helping us to appreciate again this morning just how much you've given to us. And help us, we pray, as we give out of the amazing things that you've given to us. We pray again for the work of Food Bank, particularly here in our local area. Thank you for the many people and families who've been helped. Locally here in Bromley, and we pray that the food that goes from here, this church and other churches and collection centres over Harvest will make a significant difference in the lives of people here in our own community. Thank you for the work of KB and for this network of churches. Thank you, Lord, for the amazing amount of work that you've enabled to do that network of churches to do, Lord, to bring help and relief and food and to provide housing, Lord, for many people who have lost absolutely everything. We thank you for the partnership that we have with KB in Nepal, and we pray that you will take these gifts this morning and use them to bring an amazing difference into the lives of other people in our world today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please remain standing as we conclude this morning. Henry's going to come and lead us in a closing prayer. The words will be on the screen, and there's the last slide we get to is in yellow letters, which we're going to just all join in together when we get to the bit that says, "Let all that I am praise the Lord." We're going to pray that out loud together. So thank you. I'm just going to stick these words on the screen and we can follow your prayer as you pray it. It's lovely. Thanks.
This is a selection of verses from the end of Psalm 103. The Lord has made the heavens his throne. From there he rules over everything. Praise the Lord, everything he has created, everything in all his kingdom. Let all that I am praise the Lord.
And we'll say it together. Let all that I am praise the Lord. Thank you very much, Henry. That's great. Please be seated.